of the town of North Hempstead. One of the many services we offer is help at home with minor home maintenance. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services. Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence, and I'm your host, John Ryan. My co-host today is Dr. Marlene Levy. And we had a tremendous, tremendous program this morning so far with caring people. The main thing that's going on there, it's caring people. And we're going to go right in. I believe I have on the line David Kilmnick, who is the president and chief executive officer of the LGBT Network, and Laura Corcoran Doolin, who is the vice president of external affairs. Are you guys on? Hello? Hello? Okay, we can chat until they come on.
Could you explain to me what we're doing at this point? We're going to be speaking with them, and they represent the LGBT
network.
Network,
which is the Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, and Transgender Network. It's an organization that has been in existence since 1993. And, you know, while I am not the person to be speaking so much about it, to be honest with you, I am somewhat aware of what they've been doing. And I think the most significant part of David, who is the president, and Lauren, who is the vice president of external affairs, is their outreach into the community. Because you read the stories that are just heartbreaking about young kids that are just abused, and I don't believe there isn't an age, because they have SAGE also, which is for seniors. Are you guys on the air?
Hi, can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you, Lauren. How's everything?
Hi. Yeah, it's great. So we're actually today is an exciting day for the LGBT Network. Thanks for having us on. We're actually moving to a much bigger facility so we can serve more great people. And I'm actually, David is actually a little busy with the move. We're going to try to have him make a guest appearance in a few minutes.
That's fine.
I have our COO, Robert Vitelli, with us as well. So you're getting Lauren Corcoran Doolin and Robert Vitelli this morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Robin. Thank you so much for joining us. Marlene, who is my co-host today, just basically wanted to know about the LGBT network. And I know I recently saw on Facebook a picture of your new headquarters. Actually, I went to your event 2 years ago when Robert was being on it. And, you know, I've gone once or twice before, and that year I went, and it really, you guys are just growing by leaps and bounds. And to be going into this new building, because I was also in your office in Crossroads in Woodbury there?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's where you still are, but tell us how this whole thing came about, if you don't mind, Rob, because I like to hear from the inception to the magnificence you're at today.
Okay. Well, thank you again. You know, this past year, we celebrated 25 years of service. David, our president and chief executive officer, is also a founder of the organization. And when he was a master's of social work, a graduate student at Stony Brook University, his thesis project was about going out to local schools and delivering education about the experiences of gay and lesbian youth. And it was really an undercover mission at that time, and getting into schools was almost secretive. But the same thing happened whenever they delivered the program in classrooms, is that one or two kids would always kind of shuffle their papers or drop something on the floor in order to approach the presenters, like David, until all the other kids had left the room. And the question was the same no matter where they went, which was, you know, is there a place for me to go to meet other kids like myself? And that was a sign at the time to say, hey, you know what, we need to start an organization. So that's exactly what David did, was begin an organization that in 1993 called Long Island Gay and Lesbian Youth. And a lot of people know the acronym called Legally. The organization grew and grew. We purchased a community center in Bayshore. But not too long after that, we saw an additional need. We had LGBT young people aging out beyond our programs and coming back and saying, hey, there's nothing left for me as an adult. What else can we do? We had LGBT older adults as well coming to us saying, hey, you know what, do you have any programs for us? So what we did in 2005 to 2007 was create a strategic plan to expand our services to serve the LGBT community throughout the lifespan. And that really put us on a trajectory for tremendous growth, really, for the next 12 years till today. And so we've been growing our programs and services beyond LGBTQ HIV prevention, services and projects for the transgender community, LGBT older adults, LGBT-headed families. And so today is really marking a culmination of that because we're actually moving into, literally moving into, as we speak, a brand new community center in Hop Hop, New York. It is the first of our next generation LGBT community centers. It's a 15,000 square foot facility that's going to support the organization's continued growth in a lot of those areas, youth, older adults, serving LGBT-headed families, as well as expanding our community outreach efforts, including a significant corporate outreach initiative. Because we serve right now about 5,000 people a year with direct services. We actually deliver education and training programs to about another 10,000 people a year, primarily in schools. We deliver about 600 community programs a year. And our outreach engagement reaches 500,000 people through our annual National Coming Out Day campaign. So that really brings us up to today. And part of that, though, we're moving out of our Bayshore Center because we are the nonprofit partner in a housing development project for LGBT-friendly, affordable senior housing. It's the first of its kind in the region. It's a 72-unit LGBT-friendly, affordable senior housing complex anchored by another community center of ours. Now, that project will come online in about two and a half years. We'll see that in about 2021. And that's really going to buoy the growth that we've had.
Where is it located?
Sure. The senior housing complex will be built at the site of our current Bayshore Center, which we're moving out of on Monday, on Park Avenue, at Park Avenue in Mechanicsville.
Okay. And how do you advertise this? How is it going to get out there for everybody?
Sure. Well, you know, we're so fortunate. We've been building our list, and we have such a presence in the community. We're the go-to resource. So, you know, we're going to be able to utilize all of our existing channels to be able to promote it to about 15,000 to 20,000 people. So people have been calling us. People want to know when the housing lottery is going to begin. And there is an immeasurable amount of excitement around the senior housing complex because, you know, LGBT older adults, this is what they're looking for. And the ability to have a community center in the same complex as LGBT older adult housing is really introducing a whole new model of service delivery for us. So we're going to be able to further expand services so that we can continue to support LGBT older adults in all the ways that they can and really help them age in place to promote their long-term health.
Robert, you're and I mean this very lovingly and caringly, babbling on like for 5 minutes, I'm exhausted, that because what you are doing and what has been done since like 1993, putting together a senior center, going into a school and all this other stuff is difficult in an environment where everybody's accepting. And here you have someone, you know, going out like David, and you, and now, of course, you got the queen, Lauren, there, that this was a fight. You're making it sound very easy in my mind. But you guys, you know, David, this is my opinion. This was the culmination that's going on now is not like some just easy walk that has been taken. This was a fight, and there was, I'm sure, much sadness along the way.
Well, you know, I'm glad that you said that because I think it does speak to our approach. You know, we believe in building relationships one by one, and we believe that, you know, not everyone, you know, is necessarily where we want them to be. And that's okay. You know, it's about having conversations with people, it's about opening hearts and minds, and having people understand the challenges that LGBT people face. And so, you know, we have been very successful in making sure that we don't just reach out to and engage LGBT people. We reach out and engage allies and families and support systems and maybe people who don't feel aligned or connected to the LGBT community as well. And I would say that is absolutely has been a critical key to our success for people to understand who we are, who we serve, understanding the LGBT community, and understanding why that's so important. You know, people, you know, we talk about living in a post-marriage equality world, and we have to continually educate people and increase their awareness that the bullying of LGBT kids in school is still pervasive, that LGBT older adults still you know, face a tremendous amount of stigma and fear, particularly if they feel like they need to go into assisted living and having to feel like they need to go back into the closet. You know, all these different health needs are really critical. So that's what really what we share with people. And we invite them in to those needs. And then being able to reach out to people beyond the four walls of our community centers and schools. So, for example, we were very successful in partnering with the New York Mets and City Field 3 years ago to produce what was the tri-state area's first LGBT Pride Night of any major sports team. And that was huge in terms of that partnership of raising visibility beyond health and human services and really talking about everyday needs of having a safe space. And, you know, even just going to a sports camp and being a sports fan. So it's that type of work, I think, that has lent to our success.
I have a question for you. I understand, and I know because my brother is gay, so I've gone through the life of hiding in a closet, and my best friend is gay also. So I know all the emotions involved in it. What I also know is that there are different cultures that are more harsh when it comes to LGBT, much more harsh. Do you in any way get involved with the different cultures that, as I'm saying, because I happen to have friends in Brazil, and they're still hiding, and they come to the States, and they don't know where to go in the States. How do you outreach people from different cultures that are much more abhorrent to these different lifestyles, as far as they're concerned?
That's a great question, and your brother and best friend are really lucky to have an ally like you, because I think your question is really hits on, I think, a lot of nerves for a lot of people, because I think we hear from the people that we serve the challenges that you reference.
Robert, I'm sorry. Yeah. You have to keep the thought. We have to take a break. But we do want that question answered, if you don't mind. And I don't want to give you only 30 seconds, and it's silly. So we're going to go right into a break here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org, and we'll be right back with Robert and Lauren.